Welcome to the latest edition of the NAREIT Podcast. I'm NAREIT Editorial Director Alan Kenny. Joining me on the phone is Daryl Steinhaus, partner in DLA Piper's Real Estate Capital Markets Group. Daryl has more than 30 years of experience in tax and securities transactions. He's represented both investors and sponsors. So we're going to be talking today about the new Securities and Exchange Commission rules regarding companies' abilities to advertise the sale of interest in private real estate funds. Daryl, thank you for joining us.
My pleasure.
So let's start off. Can you give us just kind of a general overview of what these new rules allow?
The new rules are very broad. They will let you advertise on the internet, on TV, on radio. There are basically no limitations on where you can advertise and where you can bring in your investors. The new rules fall under Rule 506, and you have to sell to only accredited investors, and you also have to verify that they're accredited investors. But there are no limitations because the states do not have any control over what is going to be sold or what is going to be advertised, and the federal government has basically indicated that as long as you follow the rules, you can do what you'd like with respect to the new rules.
Okay, and you mentioned they can only be advertised to accredited investors. Can you give us, for our listeners, an idea of what that would include, what that group would include?
And they actually can be advertised to everyone. They just can't be sold to non-accredited investors. As you may recall, in the old days, what I'm going to call them, in the 506B rules, you couldn't advertise to anyone. There is a prohibition on general solicitation. That has now been lifted. The other rules still apply with respect to Rule 506, but the prohibition on general solicitation is gone. As you know, there was basically three ways that you could raise money before. One was friends and family, one was broker-dealers, and the other was institutional. And all of them had their limitations. Friends and family, well, you know, you run out of friends and family. And broker-dealers, it's a high cost to raise money. It's typically a fairly high load. And institutional, well, we know the issues there. Basically, he who has the gold makes the rules. So each one had their own limitation. This now allows you to expand your base so that you can bring a lot more investors, and hopefully it's going to make it easier to raise money. Now, one of the requirements of the new rules is that you have to take reasonable steps to verify that your investors are accredited. In the old days, everybody used to basically use a check-the-box rule. You would provide a subscription agreement to your investor, and they would certify to you that they were accredited. Under the new rules, now you have to look at all aspects of this investor, and you have to look at the nature of the investor, the nature of the investment, and the type of the offering that is out there. And then you have to verify that your investor is accredited. The SEC has provided several safe harbors. The first is income qualification. So if you can get the tax returns from your investor for the last 2 years and a written representation regarding the current year that they make at least $200,000 a year or $300,000 a year with their spouse, that is one of the safe harbors. The next safe harbor is net worth qualification. In this case, you're going to have to go to the bank statements, the broker statements, the tax assessments, potentially appraisals, and then you have to get a credit report from the liability standpoint for this investor. As you can see, the first two elements are kind of intrusive into the privacy of an individual's net worth and financial resources. So we don't know how much pushback there's going to be with respect to those two items. I think most people anticipate that services will develop that will provide certification to issuers that people are accredited so that people feel safe from a privacy standpoint, and yet you can still pass the rules. The third way that you can get through this is obviously, almost what a lot of us have seen before, which is you can go to your broker dealer and your broker dealer can certify, your registered investment advisor can certify. They've now expanded it so that your attorney or your certified public accountant can also certify that you're accredited. And this is really to prevent people who are not accredited from not telling the truth, because they see an advertisement on TV that they say, I really want to get into this advertisement. It's not fair that only rich people can buy in. So I'm going to kind of fudge my resources. And Congress wanted to make sure that those people were not making investments with money they effectively needed to use for their living expenses, as opposed to, investment in a new real estate project.
Okay, and I mean, we're fundamentally talking about deregulation here, and deregulation in any industry is going to lead to concerns about bad actors. What kind of issues are there here in that regard?
Well, it's interesting because, as you know, the SEC put out its bad actor rule at the same time, and effectively, if you are a felon, you have the SEC giving you a cease and desist or a stop order or a state or a court. If you are basically a bad guy and you've been convicted of a felony or certain other crimes, you can be stopped from using this provision. Now, it's a little, I'm not certain how successful it will be, because if you already are a felon, I'm not certain it would stop you from lying on the forms that you weren't a felon. So it's interesting because it's a self-regulating provision. Now, someone can catch and stop you because you are a felon, but hopefully it will limit it a little bit. But I'm not certain, if it will be completely successful. For example, Madoff was taking money, as we all know, but that wouldn't have stopped him, I think, from continuing to take money.
So do you envision companies, actually taking advantage of this, in practice? What do you think it's going to look like?
Well, it's interesting because I have a significant number of issuers who want to go out and try this, at least experiment with this. I have one sponsor who is going to do an S-11 registered REIT, and they've decided they're going to switch that, and they're going to start out with a Reg D REIT using 506C. I have several other investor issuers who have funds and are switching from 506B to 506C. The most important question that everyone asks is, what's the best way to advertise? And that's unknown at this time. Is it mailers to wealthy areas? Is it the internet? Is it social media? Is it radio? Is it TV? Those are the questions that no one knows. And the real question is, if you can have your advertisement at a level so that it's effective, yet the price is lower than raising money through conventional sources. So if typically, it's going to cost you 10 points to go through a broker-dealer. If instead you can do this through advertisement and keep it down to 3 points, it's going to be a much more effective and faster way of raising money. There is one concern that a lot of people have not talked about in this area, and that is, even though it entirely opened up the advertising and Rule 506C, the broker-dealer rules still apply. So under the SEC rules, basically, if you have individuals at the issuer that are selling securities, they have to fall within one of the exemptions or safe harbors. Otherwise, they may have to qualify as a broker-dealer. And generally, what we're talking about is the safe harbor allows the issuer, the employees of the issuer, to work on one offering every 12 months. Now, that's a safe harbor. A lot of people think, if you do two offerings, it's not going to be, a problem, as long as you're not in the business of being an issuer of securities. But where that exact line is, no one knows. But we all know the safe harbor is one every 12 months. So if people are more involved than one every 12 months, they're still going to have to work through a broker-dealer structure. That may change in the future, so that the issuers use the broker-dealers more as a clearinghouse. For example, the issuers may advertise, bring in the potential clients, submit those over to the broker-dealer to effectively clear the transaction, and someone from the broker-dealer will answer the questions of the issuer and answer the phone calls so that it still runs through a broker-dealer. That may be what we see in the future from these situations. I view this as a little bit like what happened years ago with trading with respect to securities. 30 years ago, you went to your broker-dealer, you paid $300 a transaction, and your hand was held in that process. And today we have two different methods. We have, you know, the discount trade, which costs you $6 to trade your shares, or the more traditional method, which may still cost you $200 to trade your shares, and someone's giving you recommendations and watching over your portfolio. And that's what may occur in this industry as well. We may have some reps and broker-dealers who are more involved in clients who need their hand held or want to walk through potential investments. And we have other investors who may just want to clear the transaction. They're making their own decisions. And as a result, the fees will be reduced.
All right. Daryl, thank you so much for joining us to run down all these new regulations.
It's my pleasure. Thank you very much.
Again, folks, that was Daryl Steinhaus, partner in DLA Piper's Real Estate Capital Markets Group. And for the Nareit Podcast, I'm Alan Kenny. Thank you for joining us.